Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. They have done it. The Toronto Raptors pulled the upset and beat the Golden State Warriors in six games to win their first NBA championship. That's a big story. And they really took the NBA by storm for a good month and a half, and it was all led by Kawhi Leonard, who was certainly deserving of the Finals MVP, and the Raptors certainly looked like the better team the entire way. An incredible job by the Raptors coming out of this and winning the Finals. I mean, just a great job out of them, and upsetting a dynasty in Golden State. It's just an amazing job. I just can't say enough about how well that went. So we'll talk about all the details with that. Then we're going to talk about the biggest trade that we've seen in quite some time. The Lakers completing a big trade for Anthony Davis. They gave up a lot, but people have been on both sides of the fence, and a lot of people think it's going to be worth it because Anthony Davis isn't truly indeed a top five player in the league. I mean, he is really good, and he's good on both sides of the ball, so it's a pretty exciting time. And then later on the show, we're going to get into the NBA draft, a very big top-heavy draft, but we'll see what other possible value there is in the first round. And so we're happy to have our friend Chris in Georgia joining us tonight, as usual, and we have Tom in New Jersey joining both of us tonight for all the particulars here on this incredible transition show, which will take us from the postseason to the offseason. Let's jump it. The NBA report for June 18th. Happy anniversary, themikefrancesa.com. This is the 10th anniversary today. It was on this day that the board was formed. So, and it's kind of a bit funny how the show and the board coincided almost with each other. Like, this, we're celebrating our 10th as well. So, it's interesting to have some of our board favorites on with us tonight. So let's bring them in. We'll start with our co-host on the phone tonight. This helped us with the phone conference. It is Chris in Georgia. Welcome back, Chris. How's it going?
Great. Good to have you. Thanks for having me, Dave.
And you bet. And also joining us tonight, Tom in New Jersey. How's it going, Tom?
Thanks, David. I love talking NBA with you guys, so this should be fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the Finals. It's just an incredible job by the Raptors, and I won't waste any more time. I mean, it was a series in which, by the end of it, you get the sense that they were the better team in every game. Like, they had the lead in every game. And, and there were a lot of injuries involved. We talked about the Kevin Durant injury. That was devastating enough. But in Game 6, around late in the third quarter, Klay Thompson tore his ACL during the game, and that was just too much. And the Raptors took that, and they won the series. But I don't think the injuries are the reason they won. They were just flat-out better. So let's talk about this series and then the aftermath and the championship and and the parade and all that stuff. And we'll start with Chris in Georgia. Chris, this truly was a masterpiece. It was a great series. I thought it was really fun, too. So let's get your thoughts on the Raptors' victory.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We're going to remember this, I think, with all the injuries, particularly to KD and Klay, but also Looney. You're right. It was an entertaining series down to the last few seconds of Game 6, and it was a lot of fun. We saw Kawhi kind of cement his place in history as, you know, one of the greats, and it's going to be fun to they're going to be fun to watch in the off season. Both these teams really, just because they have such important pieces that are, you know, up in the air in terms of contract status. So we'll have to watch that. But yeah, it was really, really very exciting series, and you know, I had no rooting interest, so I was kind of. You know, it made it much more entertaining for me.
Well, it was really interesting to see how human the Warriors looked these last couple of weeks. It was definitely the byproduct of the many playoff runs, the many finals runs, and they really gave their best shot. And they played hard, and they threw everything they could. And I got to give them a lot of credit for not giving up, and they did a pretty good job. Good series overall. So, Tom, let's get your thoughts on the finals. I mean, truly one to remember.
It was a great finals. One of the ones I always remember, obviously because Durant got hurt. I think that's what everybody's going to remember about this finals, was Durant getting hurt and whether he should have come back or not. And I just thought it was a great finals. Game five, unbelievable game. Warriors completely stole that game. They had no business winning that game. And then in game six, they almost won that game with the Danny Green turnover. And it was about a split second away from Draymond Green fouling him. And then he threw the ball away as Green was about to foul him. It was just crazy, the whole series. And I honestly think, though, the Warriors would have won that series in five games if Thompson and Durant were both playing, but it was a great series, and injuries happen, so you can't take the win away from Toronto. And I thought Kawhi was hurt too, and that was evident too in the final two series. But he was still finding ways to score, and he's like a grizzly old vet, the way he can muscle through and still find ways to score the way he does, orchestrating offense and the way he plays defense. He always defends the best player. He's just an unbelievable player. And it was just a great series, Dave.
It also seemed to cap... It seemed to be the punctuation mark on a big comeback for Kawhi this season. You know, he'd been in the shadows because of all the issues with his various injuries. And there's a lot of uncertainty going into the season when he was traded to Toronto from San Antonio. And he came out of that really great. And I, too, think that he really... He was a true warrior. It's funny that he played the Warriors, but he was a warrior himself, and I got to give him a lot of credit. So the big question, will he come back to Toronto? I mean, I think a lot of people said, nah, he's not coming back. But after the finals, some people are starting to change their minds. So, Chris, I'll give it to you first. What's your feeling on Kawhi? I mean, there are some options for him. What do you think he does?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the rumor's been all along that he would, go to the Clippers. And, you know, I mean, he's from Southern California. It would be interesting to see him to re-up with the Raptors, just because no one expected this, and that would certainly. Coming back and going for a repeat would be potentially enough of a incentive to return. Whether that happens, I don't know. I suspect he's probably gone, which is going to make Toronto even more interesting, just because, well, what do you do then? I mean, does Toronto look to, to move other parts? I mean, you know, without Kawhi, what kind of team is this thing? Build around Siakam, and Lowry's contract's pretty big, but I think he's only got 1 year left. Do they look to move him in that scenario? But I'm not sure. There's a lot of moving parts, including the fact that Masai Ujiri might actually be looking to, or he's apparently being discussed to become the next GM of the Washington Wizards, who do not have a GM going into the draft. So so keep an eye on that as well. He was the architect of this team. So yeah, a lot to watch there on Toronto, starting with Kawhi, but also with their GM.
Yeah, it looks like they're set up pretty well. The one thing that you do look at in terms of the future is the GM. I mean, it was very interesting to see those rumblings, you know, only a couple of days ago. So I think it would be a really good transaction if the Wizards were to land Ujiri. That is interesting. So, Tom, let's get back to you on the same question. Where do you see Kawhi next year? Do you think he stays with Toronto? And what is your feel for that offseason?
I think it's 50-50. I mean, this time last year, we thought the trade was, well, at least I can't speak for Chris, but I thought the trade was crazy this time last year when they gave up DeMar DeRozan for a rental in Kawhi for 1 year, and that turned out to be the ballsiest and gutsiest move for any GM to make, and it probably will go down as one of the best trades ever made that anyone has ever made. I mean, you get a rental, you give up DeMar DeRozan, who is an all-star, and you had a long-term deal, and there was a lot of friction between the team, and Kyle Lowry was best friends with DeMar, still is, and he hated the move, and for that team to win the championship like that was just unbelievable, and it's a ballsy move for that GM, and for him now to possibly leave is just crazy too. But I think Kawhi is gonna leave, but there's also a chance he might sign for a one-year deal with an option, where he gets like $30 million, and then he has an option to leave if he wants. Because I know he loves LA, he's from LA, but does he really want to be a Clipper now? I mean, if he goes to the Clippers next year, I don't think they're going to win the championship, but I would have said the same thing last year of Toronto, so who the hell knows? But gun in my head, he leaves, but I think there's a 50-50 shot he stays.
Yeah, I think I would lean more towards leave than stay, but at the same time, I don't feel that confident about it. And the 1 year option, or even like the one with the 1 year contract with an option for a second year, would be a good call on his part. And maybe it's a good idea because I know that a lot of these other guys are going to be leaving the next year, but you have this team basically intact for one more season. It's a very interesting opportunity. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he does one of those kind of contracts. So it's a very interesting offseason just for that team. But it segues us to a bigger offseason in the league at large. And we were thinking that there were going to be some big moves, and we had one right after the finals, like the day after. Yeah, it was like maybe like 36 hours after the finals. The Lakers completed a trade with the Pelicans, although not completely. I'm getting word today from CBS Sports that they are reworking the deal in order to open up more salary, because right now the salary that they have available is $24 million. And that's pretty good, but it's not enough to get a max. To get a max, you're going to have to get rid of some more contracts. And I just find that crazy that you could even do that. To give you an idea, what they would have to do is get rid of some of these real scrubs like Mo Wagner. It's a terrible draft pick, by the way. Isaac Bonga, sorry, Yachts. And some other guys who are just, you know, a bunch of nothings. Like, just get rid of these guys. Jamario Jones. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know how that's possible. It doesn't seem realistic, but they can try. The trade itself, it was the Lakers sending Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, 3 first-round draft picks, including the number 4 this year. And then I thought it was another one. I thought there may have been 4 draft picks, but it says here 3. So then there are 2 more, and they both would be draft pick swaps in the next following 2 years. So that depends on how the Lakers do. If the Lakers are good in those 2 years, then those will be what decent but not great draft picks for New Orleans. But if the Lakers tank, then these are going to be really good draft picks. Think about where the Pelicans are right now. So they get all these guys. They landed the number 1 pick, I believe, to get... they landed the number 1 pick to get Zion Williamson. And they're not done. Like, they also have a core, which includes Julius Randle and some other players. How about that one guy? I forgot his name already, but Chris, do you remember the guy I was talking about, like, in the midseason on the Pelicans?
Drew Holiday?
Drew
Holiday.
It might have been Drew Holiday. I thought it was somebody else, too. But, yeah, but they do have Drew Holiday, and that's another good call. So it's an interesting young core that they have, and it could even be getting better. That is really, really interesting opportunity for the Pels. And the Lakers, of course, get a superstar. Very steep price. I don't think it was a good trade for the Lakers, but it still could end up being worth it because, again, Davis is an amazing player. So, Chris, let's get your first thoughts on this trade.
Yeah, when you actually alerted me to it, I was out with my family, and you sent me a text, and you said the trade went down, and it was those three players. It was Hart and Lonzo Ball and Ingram and some draft picks. And my first response was like, wow, that's, I mean, I without knowing particulars of the number ones, I thought it was, you know, a strong trade for the Lakers. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's, you know, that'll work out really well for them. But then I saw the draft picks, and it kind of gave me pause just for the simple fact that, one, the number four overall is nice, but those other ones down the road, the 2021 pick is top eight protected. So if it odds are, you know, we'll convey in 2021. If it doesn't, it would roll over to 2022. But in 2023, the Pelicans would get the Lakers, or the right to swap picks with the Lakers in 2023. Which is the first year post LeBron, assuming, you know, LeBron does not resign. So we're looking at a different Lakers team in 2023 without LeBron, and then also the 2024 first rounder from the Lakers, and all unprotected, which is kind of unheard of now. I mean, that's just those unprotected first round picks just don't move around very much, and the Pelicans got two of them. So there's, that is a huge gamble for both teams, but it could pay off big just knowing that LeBron is going to be out of the picture for the Lakers at that point. And, yeah, as you mentioned, the Lakers are they're kind of cash-strapped right now in the sense that they have 28 million? Not enough for a max contract, but they can still get like a, you know, they can still bring in some big players, but they have a lot of work to do, Dave, to build a roster right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They have exactly one guard signed for next year, which is Isaac Bonga. and so they really need to kind of create a backcourt out of whole cloth. So it'll be interesting what the Lakers do because they've got to get really creative. And is Rob Pelinka the guy? And you mentioned, too, a couple things. One, you mentioned Julius Randle. I think he opted out of his contract, so he's technically a free agent right now.
Okay.
Two is that, and this comes back to Pelinka, was that, you know, if, and I don't know all the intricacies of how this works, but basically if the Lakers had waited till the 30th to complete this trade of July, that is, which is probably not realistic knowing that the draft is in 2 days, but they could have cleared more salary in this trade. They would add like 32.5 million, which would be enough for a max. But they didn't, and they're trying to convince, because if the Pelicans trade that number one, the fourth overall, they trade that pick, my understanding is that it locks the Lakers into that slot of whatever it is, 20 whatever plus million, to basically fill out an entire NBA roster. So obviously, yeah, they're trying to convince Pelicans not to make a trade for that four pick, and I don't know what they have to do. I mean, I don't know what, you know, what else they can do to convince them. I mean, what do they trade Kuzma? I mean, it's the coverage are bare, Dave, a little bit. So we'll see, yeah. But it'll be fun to watch.
Well, I think if you can make a trade for Davis and you have these problems with the cap, I think it could still be worth it. But I still don't like the trade. I just think that that's too much. I don't think you needed to do that. He was leaving anyway. Not so much the giving him the number four overall, like to this year. Again, I don't think that matters. But it's those ones later that just feels like they're going to be killers down the road. But you know, this guy. I mean, he could be. He does seem like a kind of guy that would be worth all his trades. But my issue is that the long injury history of Anthony Davis really does worry me. And just in general, having a big man, the injury risk is generally higher anyway. So, those are the things I worry about. But this is certainly an incredible moment to get somebody that good on the Lakers. And he's young. He's like 26, so he's going to be just fine for a couple years if he stays healthy. So, Tom, let's not get your thoughts on this, because I've been really interested to hear what you have to say.
I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of the trade, but he is a 25-year-old player, superstar. This is the price you have to pay for someone like that. But then you wonder who else was going to make this type of trade. I felt as if the Lakers waited, the price would have kept going down and down because the Knicks didn't even make an offer. The Celtics weren't going to – I really don't think the Celtics were going to end up giving up that much. I mean, everybody wanted them to give up Tatum, and I know Tatum had a bad year, but I didn't feel as if the Celtics were going to give up Tatum in any deal. And who else was going to make that type of an offer? So I felt like the Lakers were bidding against themselves, and I thought – wow, that was a lot of draft picks to give up. And as you say, the fourth overall pick this year, it's probably going to be Garland or the kid from from the championship team, Virginia, the swingman.
Yeah,
their
Culver?
Best player. No.
Sorry.
The other player, I forget his name. But
not
whatever.
Kyle Guy, right? Is it the other guy, right?
No. The swing, their best player, but that's beside the point. I'll look it up later. But
right.
I just thought the deal was just hasty. They didn't need to do it right now. I know the draft's coming up, but it just didn't need to be done right now. And I thought when I first saw the deal, I was thinking this is going to be like Billy King with the Nets with the Celtics trade. It's just going to be year after year of giving up their first round pick. And LeBron's only going to be here for 2 or 3 years. And then it's just going to be Anthony Davis's team with a bunch of scrubs.
Right.
And they have about $25 million to work with this offseason. And you have to wonder, are they just going to sign someone like Tobias Harris and then have a bunch of players at the minimum? Or are they going to give like $10 million to Patrick Beverley or re-sign Rondo and then try and work with mid salaries with a bunch of guys and try to give like 3 or 4 guys up to $25 million. It's just interesting to see what they do. My guess is they're going to give the money to Tobias Harris. I think their best option would be getting Kyrie Irving, but it seems like he's going to Brooklyn. But I think Kyrie, if they got Kyrie, that would be awesome for them, because Kyrie back with LeBron, they're like Batman and Robin. And then you have Anthony Davis, too. I think that'd be a great fit. But they need a guard. So, it's not like the Lakers have nothing to work with. $25 million isn't that bad for a salary to get a player. So, I just thought I was giving up a lot. So.
Yeah. I always think to myself, where is that pressure coming from to get it done that quickly? And I being the guy that being what you've heard from me all season, I feel like LeBron pressured them to do it that day so that they could get a quick pop in the papers about it. And I really didn't think that was smart. And it just like a trade like this just solid, you know, just punctuates for me that the Lakers still are not a very well-run team, because that's if you're like a baseball team like the Astros or the Yankees or the Dodgers, or one of the teams that are run well in baseball. I use baseball because baseball guys have been very savvy about how they deal with the leverage like this, and they push it to the limit. And this is like totally an emotion move. Like they didn't think to wait it out and try to see if they could milk like a little bit more value out of the deal. And it just seems like such a rookie mistake, like that kind of a trade. So I don't know. I mean, Tom, where do you think the pressure for something like that comes from? And do you think that LeBron had a say, or is it just?
It's totally LeBron. I would have been like, okay, you want Davis to play with Zion when we know that Davis doesn't want to play with Zion. And I would have been like, okay, have Davis play with Zion. You then come back to me and tell me with an offer, because it's obvious that New Orleans was going to trade Davis one way or another. And Davis wasn't happy. What were they going to do? Go into November and Davis probably would have been like, I'm not playing. And he would have had to sit again. And then the Lakers would have come in and they probably would have gotten him for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And then you got Magic Johnson tweeting afterwards saying congrats to the Lakers.
Oh, God.
And then he forgets to thank Belinka, however you pronounce it. And then he sends another tweet congratulating him. It's the whole Lakers seems a mess. I mean,
it's
crazy how they make all these trades for great players. LeBron, I mean, they got LeBron. I don't know, that wasn't a trade, but they got LeBron. They got Shaquille O'Neal. They got even Dwight Howard. They get all the players they want, but it's always a circus with this team. It's just crazy. And think about it. They gave up all their great players, their great young players for LeBron. And now Anthony Davis. It's just unbelievable the way they operate their team. It's just not. It's kind of like a soccer team the way they operate in Europe. It's a major soap opera all the time with them. It's always fun to watch. And I think that's, on one hand, that's great about the NBA is how the off season is almost as interesting as the actual games itself. But on the other hand, it's kind of a downer how the off season is better than it's just as good as the game itself. Right. I mean, it's a double edged sword. You kind of want the product itself to be better,
right?
Soap opera. It's just crazy how everybody's so pumped up for these next 2 weeks of free agency.
Yeah, and then, again, like you said, it does showcase some of the incompetence in the league too. I mean, it's. But it can sometimes be for the betterment of it. Like you said, it's also entertaining. And Chris and I talked about the Lakers' incompetence in depth, I think, a week ago. And it was really something else. And I will swing it back to you, Chris, for your thoughts on the Lakers' end of this. And yeah, I mean, did you think that LeBron had put the pressure on them to do it this quickly? They really didn't need to. Like, it would not have made a difference. They were getting him either way. It just seemed like it did seem like this is a very self-motivated pressure, if in fact he was the one driving the urgency of the move.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys, but I think someone else who have a lot on the line was Pelinka. And it just goes back to that article from a few weeks ago on ESPN where, you know, he basically was embarrassed, you know, and there was a story about how, you know, he had tried to arrange a meeting with Heath Ledger and Kobe after, The Dark Knight came out. And of course, Heath Ledger was dead for a few months after that. So, I just feel like he's been kind of mocked, you know, in NBA circles and probably in LA a lot. And he needed a win. And this was a big splash. I totally agree with you guys. I mean, you know, there was a quote from his agent that I guess is it Rich Paul, and I think it was in Sports Illustrated where he said, you know, the Celtics want to trade for him, fine, but it's a one-year deal. And it's been about as clear as you can make it that he wants to go to the Lakers. Who were the Lakers really bidding against? It doesn't sound like it was anyone. Yeah, it sounds like the Knicks weren't into it. I never heard anything about the Knicks making an offer. And you know, the Celtics were going to be involved for a one-year deal. I didn't think they were going to give up Tatum. So it really just seemed like it was the Lakers and no one else. And the owners of the Pelicans had to be pretty happy because they kind of felt that there was tampering going on all last season with the Lakers and just that whole construct with the LeBron clutch sports and all that stuff that swirling around. So I want to be clear though that I completely agree that you get a 26-year-old guy who's been this good. I mean, he's probably just entering his prime, that's pretty impressive. And I mean, pair him with LeBron, and it could be devastating. I'm just interested to see how they fill out the rest of the roster. I mean, Kuzma's a pretty good player, but there's a lot of roster slots they have to fill, and how they do that. And what's interesting too, Dave, and I don't want to go too far afield, but this offseason could be kind of crazy just because we've got, 3 years ago was the crazy 2016 offseason where everyone went nuts with contracts. And a lot of those guys were signed to 3-year contracts. So there's a lot of cap space to be had. So you might see some eye-opening contracts, especially early going this offseason when I guess June 30th is when free agency starts. So keep an eye on that as well.
Yep, it will be a big offseason for sure, and one to look at. And the offseason will begin, for all intents and purposes, with the draft coming up in a couple days. And on this draft board, it's really all about three guys, and the guy that Tom was talking about, I believe, was DeAndre Hunter from Virginia.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's pretty good, and so he will be way up on that board, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the top three. And then in front of him would be Ja Morant, who I think is a lock at number two. And then at number one, you've got Zion, who's been the guy in college basketball the entire season. So it all looks pretty good, and I think the teams with those three picks are going to have a very good time in this year's draft. After that, it gets very, very challenging for whoever else is making picks, and you've got a lot of choices. You've got Culver, you've got Cam Reddish, you have Barrett, RJ Barrett, Darius Garland, and then just a bunch of other guys that we can probably get into, who may or may not be an impact in the NBA. And even when you have a guy that is highly touted, you don't even know if he's going to end up being a big thing in the NBA. So these other guys in the high ones or the low teens you just have absolutely no idea like how good they can actually be as NBA players. So we'll start with Tommy, I guess we could call him the go-to talent evaluator. We obviously the top three are the big thing. Do you see any value in the rest of this first round? Like, who are some of the guys that could end up making an impact in the NBA from what you've seen so far?
Well, I think Garland, he only played about 10 games for Vanderbilt before he got hurt. He's the guy that's really going up on the board. And the Knicks supposedly gave him a last-minute workout. So there's rumors that they might actually draft him at three instead of Barrett from Duke. So it's really going to be interesting to see who the Knicks, if the Knicks go the usual way of Barrett or if they go with Garland here at three. I think Knicks fans will go apeshit if they end up taking Garland. But it might actually work out because out of high school, he was extremely highly regarded too. And then there's another rumor, I think the day before, that the Pelicans might go up to number two. They might trade up to move up to number two and get RJ Barrett. So that way Morant would go to three at the Knicks. And Morant is supposedly higher on the board than RJ Barrett. So the Knicks would actually love that. And I actually think Morant's going to be a star.
I think he's a very good player. I'm not going to act as if I saw him a bunch of times. I think I saw him three times, twice in the tournament, one other time. But what I saw from him, he's a very athletic guard, just a great player. But, I mean, I think it's a can't-lose situation for the Knicks with the third pick. I think between Barrett, Morant, and Garland, I think they're all going to be very good players. Obviously, I'm devastated that they couldn't did it. That they didn't get the first pick with Zion. It was just the day. I know you don't live in New York, but that whole day was just crazy. I mean, between Knicks fans making it seem like the first pick was a lock. I mean, their chances of getting the first pick for what was it, 15% or something like that. But Knicks fans made it seem like it was 100%. It was just, that whole day was wild. It was just wild. And to see, and then when the first commercial break, when during the lottery, I think they got to they had to the top five, and part of me was thinking, holy crap, the Knicks might do this. And then you see the Lakers get the fourth pick. And then for a split second, I'm thinking, wow, the Knicks are going to do this. They're going to get the first pick. And even if they don't, they get the second pick. And then it comes up for the Knicks, and I'm like, oh, geez. And then for like a full minute, I was like, I was near tears. I was that upset. And my friend Jason was like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You're going to get RJ Barrett. I'm like, yeah, but we almost got Zion, dude. And then my wife was like, who the hell is Zion? She had no clue what was going on as we're watching at my friend's house. And that whole, it's just, being a Knicks fan is devastating, as you know. But you're starting to see how that is as a Laker fan. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a complete shit show Watching this team play. But back to the draft. I really think it's top heavy. There's not that many sleepers, and I'm just happy the Knicks end up getting a top three pick instead of like the 12th pick or the 8th pick, because that would have been really bad. But I think it's really top heavy. I didn't study the draft as well as I have in other years because the Knicks actually have a top five pick, so I don't have to do my research to see, oh, maybe the Knicks can get this guy at 8 or this guy at 9. Everybody's saying it's top heavy, Dave. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I mean, there's not much for me to add to that. Although I would ask you if you would have a preference between Barrett and Hunter. It sounded like you would rather have Hunter in that spot.
No.
Barrett,
I think Barrett's a step above Hunter.
Oh, okay.
That's what everybody's saying. I mean, Hunter was great in the tournament, but Barrett, you have to remember, he really, coming out of high school, he was highly regarded. If the draft was this time last year, he would have been the first pick over Zion. But because of how Zion played at Duke, Barrett was really the second fiddle, and he had to play off Zion. So Barrett definitely could have made more shots and shot better percentage, but he was really overshadowed by Zion. So I think Barrett's going to be a very good pro, borderline all-star. So I'm happy.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. Like you said, being top three is good territory in this year's draft. I am really surprised that the Grizzlies are considering, or maybe they're not, and this is just rumblings from writers, but the idea that they would consider that trading down from the number two pick is just lunacy. I mean, Morant was just the talk of that particular day of the tournament. Like, he was just everywhere in the media for one day, and it was when he was playing in the tournament game, and he played very well. And Murray State, I believe it was, they pulled the upset. It wasn't that huge upset in retrospect, but it was a good upset, and he played very well. And that's where a lot of people found out about him. And so I would be really surprised if the Grizzlies traded out of that. Like, that just seems like a really silly thing to do. So anyway, on to Chris, and let's get your thoughts on some of the prospects in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Zion is, we don't need to really talk any more about him, but that is interesting. I hadn't heard that rumor about the Grizzlies potentially trading down. What was it? It was with the Knicks to get, so the Knicks could get Morant and...
No, the Pelicans.
Oh, it was the Pelicans. Okay, my bad.
The Pelicans will move up to two from four.
And they would, and then they would take Barrett, and then the Knicks would be able to take Morant, and then at four in that scenario, well, it could go any number of ways. It could be Culver, it could be Garland. Interesting, huh? I hadn't heard that, because all along I'd heard that they were pretty sure about taking Morant, but you know, the you never know with the Grizzlies. Their track record with the draft isn't
not good.
It's not great, yeah. I liked Jaren Jackson Jr. last year, but, yeah, the last 10 years have been pretty spotty. Interesting, though. Yeah, I mean, I think – I suspect that there's if assuming there's no trades that happen, top three, I think, are probably set in stone, though. I think the Grizzlies will probably take Morant to two, Knicks Barrett at three. Although, wait, what were you saying – the Knicks might even take Garland at three.
Yeah, they had a last minute workout with him today, and supposedly they love him. So who knows?
The Knicks, they love drafting point guards. That's the one thing.
Yep.
They have a number. Whenever they have a number one, they have to look for a point guard. But sorry, I had to get that cheap shot in. But assuming that they take Barrett, I mean, I think. Where it gets really interesting is four, because we've talked about, you know, we've talked about Garland, who's his father played in the NBA. So he has that pedigree, really good athlete. As Tommy pointed out, just played only a handful of games and got injured. And but a really good athlete, good scorer, and he's kind of, you know, received a lot of attention. But if, you know, there's talk him going four, there's talk about Culver, there's talk about Hunter. So that's really where the draft, in my opinion, I assume there's not going to be any trades, but from what I'm hearing from you guys, could be totally wrong. Four is where it's going to really, you know, where it's going to turn a lot, and we're going to find out what happens. It's going to shape the rest of the draft. But yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. Like, you know, it really is very top heavy. You know, particularly, you know, when you look at who's at the very top. I don't know. I mean, how deep do you want to go, Dave? I mean, are there other players that you want to talk about? I mean, I have some favorites.
Okay.
That I like I like Kobe White, who was a, you know, a 6'5 point guard out of UNC. I'm looking at it from the Celtics, but you know, no way he's going to be available. Another guy, and I watched a lot more ACC than anything else, but another little sleeper of mine that I really like. And I've seen him I haven't seen him in the lottery, but I've seen him as a, you know, potentially a late first rounder is, Keandu Kabengele out of Florida State. I saw this guy play a lot, and he was a bench player. He came off the bench for FSU, and he's a big guy. He's about 6'10". He's got a huge wingspan. He can shoot. I don't know how in the world, A, this guy didn't start for them, and it was a very good FSU team, and B, how he's not considered more highly, because he just looks like a stretch four to me. And he's an incredible athlete, good shot blocker. But if I had to pick a sleeper, that's the guy I like. But I know you didn't ask me that, so I'll hand the mic back to you.
No, I mean, we did ask about picks, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised you had a sleeper, because I couldn't think of any myself. So a good spot, and your keen eye on the ACC has certainly been to your aid here. Pretty good stuff. And so let's get to it. We'll do a quick mock draft. We were doing a bigger one last year, but since the draft is, you know, pretty top heavy, it's a fairly predictable top three, and then it'll just go down a little bit more. So we can do up to seven picks. If you have only five, you can do five or six. Do six. But I'll just let you do them all in one sitting this time. So we'll start with Tom. Who do you have picking each of up to 7 picks. I mean, the first three are easy, but now I'll give it to you for your predictions on that first round.
Okay.
7.
I have Zion 1. Let's go John Morant, Memphis 2. RJ Barrett, Knicks 3. Let's go Culver, New Orleans 4. I think they're going to make a dumb decision there, not take Garland, but let's go there.
Yeah.
Cleveland, they make a lot of dumb picks. Let's give them Hunter. I think that's a can't miss pick there at 5. Phoenix. We'll go guard with Garland at 6 for mm-hmm. Phoenix. And then we'll go with Sports Pope's boy, Kobe White, UNC at 7. And then they might take Cam Reddish from Duke. But if they don't, I think he might fall to Atlanta at 8. And then Atlanta actually has the 10th pick too, don't they? I know the Knicks, they tried to trade the 8th and the 10th for the 3rd to the Knicks. And the Knicks said no. So Atlanta is begging to move up because they got 2 top 10 picks, but they're both at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. And I'm looking now at all these guys and Sports Pub's boy from Florida State, they have going to the Celtics at 22.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah. I watched a pretty good amount of college basketball this year. There's not a lot of, man, it's not a lot of talent. Let's be honest. There's not a lot of talent at the bottom of this first round. Jeez.
Yeah,
they got Ty Jerome, the star from Virginia, the guy who really stepped up in the tournament. They got him going at 26, and he's a junior to Cleveland. And they got Washington taking the UW center. No, the UW guard, that's a senior, Thibault. At 28, that's who they have Golden State taking. It's just not a great mock draft for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and they got the kid Kevin Porter, Michael Porter's brother, I think, going 20 to the Celtics.
Just gun to your head, who do you think the Hawks take? Unless you told me already, but I, where do you see them going?
The 8th pick.
Oh, right, they have 2 picks. You did mention the 8th. What about the 10th?
Yeah, Reddish. Okay. And let me see these guys. I'll go with the kid from Gonzaga, Hachimura, at 10.
All right. Pretty good. So you got your top 10 from Tommy, more or less. And now let's go to Chris. And yeah, we can bring that. I mean, I don't have a set number, so however many you have, you're welcome to spread them all out. So let's get your mock, Chris.
All right, so I'll go the same order, top 3 as Tommy. So Zion, Ja, and RJ Barrett, 3 to the Knicks, and then 4. Here's where I'll deviate. I'll say the Pelicans will pick Garland here, and you know I think Griffin's a pretty smart guy. I think he's like a pretty good executive, and you know I think he's just gonna pick who he thinks is the best player. So whether they need a point guard or not, and I think that's the right pick. I'll go Culver to the Cavs at 5. And the Suns, that's interesting. Tommy had Garland there, and the Suns really could use a point guard. But in this particular case, all right, I'll go Kobe White. And 7 to the Bulls. I'll go Hunter, just to mix it up a little bit. And then the Hawks. Yeah, the Hawks. I don't know where they go. I mean, you know, there's the kid from Gonzaga that Tommy mentioned. Cam Reddish is still there. You know, and Reddish and Barrett. You know, they had to play with Zion. And I wonder what their numbers would look like if they, you know, if they were more of a focal point in the offense than they were at Duke. But I'll go Jackson Hayes, a center out of Texas, kind of a tall athletic center. And so at 8 to the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay. So, yeah, I was very interested to see where you would have the Hawks pick. And since that's the team that's closest to you right now. Celtics, what do you think the Celtics will do?
Oh, man. You know what? It's so crazy because the Celtics, you know, we aren't.
They got screwed in the lottery.
Yeah, they got screwed in the lottery. They, you know, they're losing Kyrie. That's like pretty much a certainty now. We learned today that Horford not only opted out, but he made it clear that he wants a 4-year contract, and the Celtics and he could not come to an agreement on a deal. So he's going to go somewhere else, which is his prerogative. So the Celtics, I mean, you never draft for need, but the Celtics have to be looking for a big guy. At 14, I have not seen this guy, but I'm just curious about the Georgian kid, Goga Bitazde. And, he's supposed to be a little slow-footed, a little bit of a Nurkic type, but a good shot blocker. And so I'm kind of curious about him. But with the other two picks, I guess they're like, is it 20 and 22? I should know this by now. Yeah, 20 and 22. I'd be thrilled if they got the kid from FSU because I love his game. And also, another guy I'm interested in is a guy from Tennessee. Pull me out, Tommy. I'm just drawing a blank right now.
Let me see if I can remember.
I was saying Grant Williams. Okay. He's a little older. He's kind of probably doesn't have as much luster because he's a junior, but and he doesn't, not a huge 3-point shooter, so he doesn't have that part of his game that the pros like. But I just really like his toughness, and he played as a big in college. But I think his game could translate well in the NBA. So I like him a lot, too. I'd love to see the Celtics somehow land him. But we'll see. I mean, I think they kind of have to go big at this point. If the right guard is there, they'll take him.
All right, very good. Now, I don't have a lot to add here. I'll just give you just a few of these. So in 1, 2, and 3, they're all the same. I mean, I don't think there's any, unless there's a trade, I think they're all going to be, Zion, Ja, and I think the Knicks will go with Barrett, so we'll leave that there. I had in my head that the Pelicans were going to pick Culver, so I'll have them at number 4. 5 for the Cavs, that leaves Hunter. I don't know if they would do that or Garland. I will take Hunter for now. And then the Suns will take Garland. And then 7. I think for whatever reason, the Bulls tend to gravitate towards these guys who are really good at more defensive guys or guys who aren't great. Well, at any rate, I'll take the Bulls going with Cam Reddish. The Hawks will get Kobe White, which, dang, that would be pretty good. And the Wizards, I don't know, Nassir Little. I don't know. And now I'm kind of run out of ideas, so that's my mock. Okay, so I guess that's about it. It should be... I think what we look for on Thursday is whether there are any surprises, whether there is a trade, and, whether guys will end up, coming completely off the board when they get to their pick, like maybe in the top 5. So that's what we look for, surprises on Thursday. But those top 3 look like they're going to be who they're going to be. So let's give it to you guys for final thoughts. Tom, I'll go to you first.
Dave, there's one guy I forgot to mention. We all know about Manute Bol's son.
Bol Bol.
Yeah, he barely played at Oregon, but he's just like his dad. He's like 7'4".
Yeah.
I know Manute was taller, but it's just, He's like 7'4 at 180 pounds. It's insane looking at him on the screen. And yeah. he can shoot like his dad. He blocks a lot of shots. But you know he's going to get hurt, like, all the time. And I think he's just like his dad. And he's going to be just like his dad. Shoot crazy threes, block a lot of shots, but always be hurt. But it'll be interesting to see who drafts him in the first round, because he's definitely going to go in the first round. And, I love watching the NBA draft. It's not as intriguing as the NFL draft, but it's fun. And it's only two rounds, so it's quick. It's not that fast. It's not that slow like the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's true. With only two rounds, and that does consolidate a lot of the action. So, because there's fewer players, too. Like, the roster's only usually about 12, 13, so that helps. So, okay, Chris, first of all, what did you think about Bol Bol? I mean, he does look like his dad, Tom. You're right. I mean, I saw him play one game in Oregon, and then he got hurt. If you're getting hurt in college, that's not a good sign for the pros. So, Chris, final thoughts.
Yeah, it's so funny. Bol Bol, two numbers jump out at me. 2.7 blocks per game. And he shot 52% from three.
Wow.
Bananas. I mean, it's crazy. He is a project, though, and likely, you know, it's not going to be an impact player. But, he'll definitely go in the first round. There's no doubt. I don't know. I mean, there's other interesting guys like Alexander Walker out of Virginia Tech, who is actually – he's a Canadian guy. He's Shea Gilgeous Alexander's cousin, and he just also happens to have a hyphenated last name, which is interesting. It is kind of an interesting option as a scoring guard. Again, pretty big guard, 6'5", so just keep an eye on him. But I share the same sentiments. I really do. I look forward to this. I can't believe we're 48 hours away. It's crazy that we're at this point. I'm going to be watching with more intent than I usually do, because the Celtics have those three picks, and there's been rumors that, you know, potentially maybe they're trying to trade up. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know if the Horford news changes that, and that they're looking to kind of stock up on chips right now. So maybe they don't, or maybe they try to trade out of this draft. I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And I look forward to recapping it a little bit with you.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time. And Tom, thanks for coming on with us to break all these prospects down. And talking some basketball with us. And we invite you to join us for some of these off-season shows too, because we'll be talking trades and any other blockbusters that go down. It shall be a very interesting time. So thanks again, guys. Been a lot of fun. Take care, everybody, and I hope you have a good weekend. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon. All right, guys?
All right. Love talking NBA with you guys anytime.
All right, bud.
Yeah, same here. Thanks,
right.
Guys.
Take care. All right. Thanks so much. And that's Tom in New Jersey. That's Chris in Georgia. This is Dave Medina. And we say goodnight. Thank you very much. We remind you, by the way, that the top five episodes of 2014 podcast special is on our feed. So go to your Apple Podcast app, go to ditcow.com, or go to Twitter at ditcow and locate us there for that special retrospective. That's a good one. I hope you have a good time. Again, I am Dave Medina. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next time.